Good evening to everybody. Parshas Miketz and certainly Parshios of Miketz, Vayigash, and Vayechi. We're Dafka and Parshas Vigash, but the two Parshas of Miketz and Vigash are particularly noteworthy in terms of Yosef's role as the Viceroy of Egypt, second in command to Paro Melech Mitzrayim. And certainly there are a lot to be spoken about and discussed from Yosef's involvement, relationship in monarchy, in the kingdom, and as a very significant political personality in government. There are particular and important lessons, halachas, and hashkafas that can be learned, gleaned, and are available for us to recognize from the story of Yosef and Mitzrayim. The most basic and obvious place to begin is a pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Miketz. This is in a situation where Yosef finds himself in jail and jailed as a result of committing a crime, with fundamentally being charged with the crime of having a relationship with Eshes Potiphar. Yosef at this point is in jail. He encounters the Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOtim, the two chamberlains, important positions in the kingdom of Paro. They dreamt a dream. And Yosef successfully interprets the dream, and as a result of Yosef's success in interpreting the dream of both the Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOtim, he has a claim to fame, and ultimately when it's Paro, who at the beginning of Parshas Miketz, who has a dream, it's Paro who calls Yosef to be the one to resolve his difficulty, his inability to sleep, as a result of the dreams that he dreamt. Pasuk picks up in Parshas Miketz, in Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Yudalev, Vayishlach Paro vayikra al Yosef vayiritzuhu min abor. Paro calls for Yosef, summons Yosef, they rush him from the dungeon. And what does Yosef do immediately upon being summoned to the kingdom of Paro? Vayigalach vayichalech simlosav vayavo al Paro. He shaved, changes his clothes, and comes to Paro. Rashi, commenting on the pasuk, vayigalach, that Yosef shaved. Rashi says three words coming from the Bereishis Rabba, Mipnei Kvod HaMalchut, as a result of the honor of the king and the kingdom of Egypt and Egypt's king, Paro specifically, Yosef Sheikh. Now, the Bar Tanura, the Rav, in his commentary, Ala Torah, comments and questions, why does Rashi have to tell us that? Of course. What's the Chiddush in Rashi that Yosef shaved in honor of the Melech? Why is that so significant? Furthermore, the Bar Tanur notes that the Kvod HaMalchus, the honor for the king, is specifically said regarding Yosef's shaving, but not Dafka about Yosef changing his clothing. So what is it, and why is it that Rashi has to note this idea of Kvod HaMalchus, the honor and the nobility and the princely aspect about the kingdom, that it's Yosef that has to shave? The Hadith Yosef, in his commentary on the Torah, Chassam Sofer, in his Chidushim and Torah's Moshe, note the Gemara in Misachas Rosh Hashanah that says in Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, that indeed Yosef was released from jail, and that day was Rosh Hashanah. And as a result, says the Chassam Sofer, that how could it be that Yosef shaved? It's Rosh Hashanah. As such, says the Chassam Sofer, that Rashi Daska tells you that it's as a result of the Kvod Malchus, as a result of the honor of the kingdom and being prepared and appropriately roomed in front of the king. Therefore, even so, it's docha the isru giluach yom tov. It prohibited, and the nature of shaving on yom tov was allowed to be postponed as a result of the kvod malchus. Says the Chassam Sofer, lachein pirish rashim shum kvod malchus, v'afilu shel umos ha'olam, even the kingdoms of the non-Jewish nation. Docha isru giluach yom tov, it pushes aside the prohibition of shaving Yom Tov. Shal Kvod Malchus Hayim Tzuveh. Yosef was commanded in honoring the kingdom, Paro specifically, Val Yom Tov Haya Einam Mitzuveh V'Oseh, and since on Yom Tov he was an Einam Mitzuveh V'Oseh, it was pre-Matan Torah, therefore Yosef had the permission, the permissibility, and was allowed to shave. Here you see that not only is Kvod Malchus honoring the kingdom and giving honor to the Jewish king or a non-Jewish king significant and so significant, that it even pushes aside a prohibition, and in this case, a prohibition of shaving on Yom Tov. If you read just a few psukim later, when Yosef begins to interpret the dream of Paro, as Paro beseeches and requests of him to interpret his dream, Yosef responds to Paro and says, Bil Adai, it has nothing to do with me. Elohim Ya'aneh es Shalom Paro. God will answer, God will take care of, God will respond to Paro's welfare. In the Sefer Erev HaMelech of Rabbi Haminer, he notes that Midrashim point out here that from here you see that there's importance to daven for the host country and the kingdom that you are a member of. Shalom Paro. Here it's the welfare of Paro and Paro's kingdom. But in other circumstances, or wherever one's host country is, there is a notion to daven to pray for the welfare of the particular host country that you are part of. That's found explicitly in a Mishnah, in the third parak of Avot's Parak Gimel, Mishnah Beis, Rabbi Hanina Skan HaKohanim Omer, having nispalel b'shloma shel malchus, one should pray for the welfare of the kingdom, the monarchy that one is part of. Shil mole mora'a, ish es re'eu chayim b'la'o. If it was not for the fact that the kingdom has a policy and a wherewithal of dinim and judgment, police force, an army, the nation would run itself wild, and there would be no sense of peace, no sense of law and order, and as a result, it's the responsibility for the Jewish people to pray for the welfare of the host country that they are part of. In the Sefer Tiferes Yisrael, Brisa Lipschitz, and his Yachnu Boaz, and this Mishnah says that this is the Makor, this is the source for many shuls that have the custom to daven for the Shalom HaMedina on Shabbos. It comes specifically from this Mishnah, and what you see from the Medrash, as the Eved HaMelech and the Sefer points out, from the way that Yosef dealt with and treated the country that he was part of. If you skip ahead to Parshos, to Parshos Vayechi, you'll note that this concept appears again. Yosef, as a result of his important stature in the kingdom of Paro, once Yaakov recognizes that Yosef is alive and Yosef calls for him, and Yaakov comes to Egypt, Vayomer li Yosef, hine avicha chola, your father is sick. So what does Yosef do? He calls his two sons, Menashe and Ephraim, and he asks Yaakov to give them a bracha. And what does Yosef do? And what does Yaakov do upon receiving that bracha? Vayomer hine bincha Yosef v'ilecha. Yaakov is told by a messenger that your son Yosef is coming. Vayishchazek Yisrael. Yaakov exerted himself. Vayeshev amita. He sat up in his bed. Yaakov was at old age, he was dying. It wasn't easy for him to stand up and to sit in his bed. Why did he do so? Says Rashi, again quoting the Medrash, Amar, Afal Tishu Bini, even though this is my son, is Yosef Melechu, he's a king. Achalek lo kavod, I must give him the honor that he so deserves. Mikan shecholkin kavod l'malchus, from here we see that one must give honor, the requisite honor that is so deserving of the individual, particularly the chief that Yosef had as viceroy, second in command to Paro. So from these three sources, from the way that Yosef leaves jail and shaves, from the fact that Yosef tells Paro, Elohim Ya'aneh Shalom Paro, from here we see the importance to daven for the host country, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu here, Yosef beseeches that it's God who's going to take care of your welfare. And from the fact that Yaakov, even his old age, and even though it's his son, stood up for his son Yosef, we see very clearly three explicit rayos from the Pesukim, the way Chazal, Rashi understand, as to the importance of giving nature to the Malchus, whether it's Jewish or not Jewish. However, on the other hand, we do see that the Mishnah teaches in the beginning of the second parak of Maseches Avos, that although there is a notion of being close to the Malchus and giving honor to the Malchus, on the other hand, Hevu Zihir and Barashas, Perek Beis, Mishnah Gimel, be careful of getting too close to government. Politicians, government officials, monarchs, kings, queens, all of those positions, they like to allow their constituents to get close to them when they need them because they serve them good. They're going to help out when you need them. When they're looking for the votes, they'll be very powerful and very strong in terms of allowing us to understand that they will follow our will and our wishes. However, in Omdin Adam Shastacho, they don't necessarily stand by us when we need them. So yes, on the one hand, we give kavod to the Malchus and honor to the kingdom, and sometimes we'll even push aside a mitzvah halach, as we'll see shortly. But on the other hand, we don't want one to get too close to the government. So on the one hand, there's something called Kavod Malchus. On the other hand, there's something called Karov L'Malchus. But often, at times, Kavod and Kirva are mutually exclusive. Of course, we've seen throughout Jewish history many great Rabbanim, Gedolim, have had very important seats in political positions. Of course, most famously, the Abarbanel, Rav Yitzchak Ben-Dan, Yitzchak Abarbanel, in the mid-1400s, served on the parliament, an important economic position in Italy for Ferdinand and Isabella. The great, well-known Rav Meir Shapiro of Daf Yomi fame served on the stem in Eastern Europe, in Poland. Most recently, Rav Moshe Scherer was one of the great political activists in this country on the part of Jewish causes. So we do see clearly that Jews take very important and significant roles in lobbying and playing important, significant positions in political structure. Throughout Jewish history, these positions have more or less become known as a shadlanos, from the word hishtadel, to try, to persevere, to work for. And more often than not, the approach that shtadlanim take, that whether it's a rabbinic position, whether it's a lay position, whether it's a professional position, is to see to it that we as Jews have the wherewithal and the ability to fulfill the mitzvot that we so deserve in the host country that we are part of. Whether it's Shabbos or Kashrus, whether it's Bris Mila or Shchita, many activists and shtadlanim, rabbanim, have took positions in government in order to allow us to be able to fulfill the mitzvot that we so need and so desire. However, at the same time, we do see, interestingly enough, that although we have had important positions, truth to speak, to be told, that more often than not, and at times, we do find ourselves to be in a situation where we've been accused or been put in positions or situations where we've been close to a government official, and before we know it, we've been pushed aside. Of course, the Abarbanel is one of the most well-known stories. As in 1492, he was expelled along with all of Spanish Jewry, although he allowed the government and economic prowess of Italy to be strengthened under Ferdinand and Isabella. Nonetheless, he himself was expelled. However, that does not allow us just to sit back and not to take positions and not to be involved in government and politics and in the gamut of areas that are so necessary. However, we do have to be careful, be cautious, and recognize when and how, but at the same time be strong and powerful, especially for the values and the Torah Hashkafas that we so desire. That all speaks to the concept of Kvod Malchus and Karov L'Malchus. However, when and how far-reaching are these concepts? Are there times and there are opportunities when, as a result of having a position of political power, that one is permitted, able, to be Docha Yisur, to push aside Yisur? We already saw from Yosef, of course, as Chasam Sofer pointed out, that he was, Yosef at least was permitted to shave on a Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, nonetheless. Of course, that was called the Matan Torah, so we can't learn a halacha from Yosef. But are there times when there is the permissibility, and at what moment and at what time is one permitted to have and find himself in such a situation where theoretically Yisurim can be nidcha? The most explicit discussion of this is found in Hilchos Chukah Ta'akov, in Siman Kuf Ayin Ches in Yoredeya, based upon a Gemara. The Gemara is found in two places. The Gemara is most prominently found in Bava Kamma, Gemara in Bava Kamma, that the tour, the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, quote, in Siman Kuf Ayin Ches Sif Beis, Mishu Karov L'Malchus, somebody holds a position of political power, where you are close, literally, to the high-ranking officials, V'tzarech Lilvosh B'Malbushem, and you're required to dress like them. Ulidamos lahem, and to look like them, mutter bakol, and it's absolutely permitted. It's an explicitly stated halacha, the Rambam passing this, the Shulchan Aruch passing this, the Torah, the Beis Yosef passing this, based upon the Gemara, as I mentioned, that one who has to dress a certain way to be in a position of political power as a result of being in that particular situation, in a seat of government, is permitted to specifically dress like a non-Jew, although we are commanded not to follow in the statutes of the non-Jews, and included in that is our mode of dress. However, if you find yourself in a position where you're Karvel Malchus, that's permitted. The Beis Yosef asks a very basic question. He says, that is very nice and that's very good, but we're talking about an Isser D'Oraisa. How can it be that one is permitted to be Docha and Isser D'Oraisa as a result of being Karav L'Malchus? Asks the Beis Yosef, the Dover Yadu, Shein Koach B'Yadah Chachamim, Lahatir Isra D'Raisa B'Kum Asay. It's known, it's obvious, says the Beis Yosef, that the Chachamim, the rabbis, don't have the permission to push aside a biblical prohibition. How then How were the rabbis able to uproot and to push aside the biblical prohibition, the lav d'oraisa of b'chukoseim lo seirecho? Beit Yosef suggests two answers. The first, Kevin should davar zehu lahatzalas Yisrael, since this is a situation when one is close to a government official, to a high-ranking official, and therefore it's within the Jews' ability to save Jewish lives, sh'on the parrots of Atel Agzeris that are standing at the wayside, and to annul and to push aside evil decrees, be ki haigavna yeshlam koch lahatim. In that circumstance, one is permitted to push aside the law, the negative commandment of b'chukosehem lo seirechum. That's the first answer that the Beis Yosef gives. The second answer that the Beis Yosef gives is the HaTorah sasma v'kastva b'chukosehem lo seirechum b'lo shum p'rush. The Torah wrote the concept of not following the statutes of the non-Jews in a very general way. Therefore, Mastra HaKasav L'Chachamim. The Pasuk is given over in the hands of Chachamim to interpret, to determine, to understand, and to explain. V'him lo ro'u lesser dvarim elu l'krovi malchus. And they never saw fit to prohibit this for those who are karov malchus. Those are the two answers that the Beit Yosef gives. Finally, the Bach suggests a third answer, and the Bach explains the real circus in his commentary on the Torah of Simukuf Ayin Ches, that the law of the negative commandment of b'chukoseim lo seirechu, as long as one is not dressing like a non-Jew, lihizdamos l'akum, to mimic, to look, and to act like a non-Jew, does not fall within the category or under the rubric of the negative commandment of b'chukoseim. The reason that the Jew is dressing like the non-Jew in government is not to be like them, to look like them, to act like them, to mimic them, but rather it's just so that you won't be the laughingstock of the government policymakers, and therefore you dress like them. Those are the two answers of the Beit Yosef and the answer of the Bach. The question we have to try to understand is this limitation of Karav L'Malchus and the ability to uproot and to be oker the Isser D'Oraisa of B'chukoseim Lo Seirechu specific to this biblical commandment, or does it apply to other things as well? Well, the Mechaber uses the language mutar bakol. It's absolutely permitted. It would seem that a simple reading of the text of the Mechaber is that anything goes. Not only can one push aside or brush off the lav d'oraisa of b'chukoseim lo seirechu, but mutar bakol. Anytime a negative commandment comes up, if it's somebody who's karav l'malchus, then indeed one would be permitted to be docha that iser. However, if you take a closer look at the three reasons that were given, the two by the Beis Yosef and the one for the Bach, it's not so simple. The Beis Yosef's first answer is that if it comes to saving lives, then you could be docha the lav of the chukoseim lo seirechu. Well, yes, indeed, that would be true when it comes to anything and everything. If there's ever a situation with sakanas nefashos, if it's omed lefanef, if you're in a particular predicament, of course you're going to be mechal shabbos. We find many times that there are situations where somebody in a position of pikuach nefesh has to do such things. We're familiar that during World War II, during the Holocaust, many Gedolei Yisrael, including Rabbi Cutler and the late Mir Rosh Hashiva Rav Kalmanovich, used to take taxis and drive on Shabbos in order to make appeals for tzedakah for the Vada Tzal to save Jewish lives. So indeed, if we're talking about sakanas nefashos, then of course any lav can be nidcha. So it's not specific to the lav of b'chukoseim lo seirechu. On the other hand, the second answer of the Beis Yosef is specific to b'chukoseim lo seirechu, to the negative commandment not to follow in the statutes of non-Jews, because there specifically the Beis Yosef said the Torah is very vague and general, and therefore Masra HaKas V'Chachamim. The rabbis were given the ability, the permission to explain the Pasuk and the Lav and the negative commandments as they saw fit. According to this answer of the Beis Yosef, the rabbis were only given the permission in this particular situation, B'chukoseim Lo Seirechu, there it's where it's Masra HaKas V'Chachamim. But in the general Lav, the rabbis were not necessarily given the blanket heter to define, to decide, and to decipher, and to uproot the lavim right and left. It's here, specifically says the Beis Yosef. Furthermore, the Bach's answer would seem also to be specific to the chukoseim b'lo seirechu, because here, the Bach explains that the lav is specifically when you don't have intent to be like them, or to mimic them, or to act like them. Therefore, you could be docha and to push aside the lav, the negative commandment of the chukoseim b'lo seirechu. However, that svara, that logical explanation of the Bach, wouldn't apply to all other lavim. Therefore, as a result, it would seem that the limitation of the karov l'malchus, of being close to the kingdom, and simply pushing aside all the lavim, would only apply here to the lav of the chukosem le'oselechu, and of course, certainly, if it comes to a situation, hatzalas nefashos, saving a Jew's life, then we're always docha any iser. That would seem to be explicit in the Taz commenting on the mechaber here, and since kuf ayin ches, on the rule of mutter bakol, that anything goes if it's karv l'malchus, quotes the answer of the Beis Yosef, who says, Masr l'chachamim v'hem ro l'hati l'krobim l'malchus. And he quotes the second answer of the Beis Yosef, that the rabbis were given the ability and permissibility to explain the pasuk as they saw fit. Therefore, according to the Taz, the mutter bakol, the ability just to simply allow anything and to push any lav aside would be specific to the lav of chukosem lo selechu and not to any other lav. This question as to whether or not one is allowed to be doche isurim for a kar of l'malchus came up more recently in American history in 2008 at the request of President Obama at his inauguration. He asked a rabbi to say or state or give a invocation at his inauguration. The rabbi turned down and declined the invitation as a result of it being held in a church. However, a second rabbi decided that he would go ahead and offer the invocation at the inauguration and at the request of President Obama in the church, and he cited the halacha that we just mentioned, Tzimkuf Ayin Chesed Beis, as the reason and as the Sibah La'akel. It's hard to find a reason to allow it, because here it does seem, based upon what we've cited, that indeed it's only a heter of Karov L'malchus when it comes to the lav of B'chukosein Lo Selechu. In this particular circumstance, entering a church is halachically and highly questionable as a result of entering a base of Avodah Zarah. However, much of the debate and the questions that surfaced around the position of this particular rabbi can be found in the journal Hakira in Volume 8, where a long dialogue, discussion, communication between two rabbis takes place based upon the permissibility, the ability, the allowance to go into a church, to enter a base of Avodah Zarah in light of the heter of Karav L'malchus. This particular rabbi felt that the ability that he has to speak to the president, to talk to the president, to offer words to the president, the most powerful person in the world, in the president of the United States of America, was enough of a heter that he called Karav L'malchus, and the ability that he had at that particular time would be very powerful, and turning down that request may put the Jewish community, the Orthodox community, in question, and therefore he felt that it was appropriate. Other rabbis felt that it was an inappropriate thing to do. Certainly the first rabbi felt that it was an inappropriate thing to do, and the heter of Karav L'malchus would seem limited to uvichukosehem lo selechu. Take a look in Hakira 8. This is also discussed in David Lichtenstein's book Headlines, where he also reviews the material based upon this dialogue, communication, and issue that surfaced in 2008 at the inauguration of President Obama. However, we do find that there are other situations as well, besides entering a Beis Tiflos, where there also is this question. It is known, and you could take a look in Rabbi Israel Lau, the late chief rabbi of Israel, in his book Echoes, where he declined meeting with Pope John Paul II in the Vatican, and he felt that it was not appropriate to enter a Beis Avodah Zarah, a church, and he did not feel that the heter of Karav L'malchus applied in this circumstance. He does note that there were many great rabbis who did enter Beis Avodah Zarah into churches and the like, but those situations were what he deemed as hatzalas nefashos, where there were situations and particular leniencies because you could save the lives of Jews, similar to the way the Beis Yosef explained the reason that one could be docha the lav of the chukosem lo selechu. We also find that one can enter a church if that is the reason for entering the church, to save the life of a Jew. However, in this particular circumstance that we've been talking about in 2008, just because one is speaking to the president, is that considered saving lives? Hard to argue that that would be the case, and therefore, as a result, that was the polemics that were discussed in that particular circumstance. We do find that there is an interesting minhag that has existed for many a year, that when a king, a person of political prowess, comes to visit a city, a town, and comes to meet with a Jewish community or Jewish member or rabbinic figure, that the rabbi would greet this particular individual with a Sefer Torah. A discussion of this particular minhag, what the source of the minhag is it a Minig Yisrael is a not can be found in Rabbi Avadja Yosef's Chuvas Yabi Omer, Chelik Dalet, Simon Yud Dalet, Os Ches, where he discusses this, but certainly we found many circumstances where this has happened. Now, the question as to the propriety of moving a Sefer Torah is subject to halachic consideration. Typically, we don't move a Sefer Torah from the Aron Kodesh unless it is being lain from with a minyan. We are not very supportive of simply being metaltel a Sefer Torah, Shlol a Torah. Simply to move a Sefer Torah is not something that typically happens, but here you see that as a result of the kavod, hamelach, honor of the king, that it is something that is done. Take a look as Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Avadja Yosef, Zichron Lebracha, discusses this very, very well-known minhag. Of course, one of the more well-known stories or circumstances that where this existed some years ago was in the DP camps when the Kloisenberger Rebbe was stationed following the war, when General Dwight Eisenhower came to the Feldensing DP camp. It was Yom Kippur, and the Kloisenberger Rebbe came out to greet Eisenhower with a Sefer Torah with bread and salt on Yom Kippur. And of course, here again is another case in point where Tilpul Sefer Torah, the Kavod HaMelech, is something that's permitted. Finally, another place where you see the potential for Heter because of Kavod Malchus can be found in Orach Chaim, Siman Reish Chof Dalet. There the Shulchan Aruch said that there's a bracha that's made on a Malchai Yisrael, on Jewish kings, but at the same time, on Malchai Umos Olam of the Kochavim. On non-Jewish kings, there's also a bracha that's recited, Baruch Shenasan Mechvodot Basar Adam. So certainly we see that the importance of a non-Jewish ruler, a leader, certainly somebody who has potential power, there is that sense of making a bracha. When we make that bracha, do we make that bracha only on a king or a queen and the like, is something that has to be discussed at greater length. However, in Siman Reish Chof Dalet Sif Ches, piggybacking on Sif Ches, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gemara Brachas on the Daf Yud Tes Mubeis, Mitzvah lehishtad liros milachim v'afilu malchi umas olam. There's a mitzvah to make a hishtadlus, an effort to see kings, and even malchi umas olam, even non-Jewish kings. So much so, Mishnah Berurah, of course, quoting the conclusion of the Gemara Brachas on Daf Yud Tes Mubeis, says that a Kohen can even run through a cemetery, which is prohibited to do so. A Kohen is not permitted to be mitame. However, for Tumah Midrabanan to be mitame in rabbinic level, it is even permitted, so much so, to see Malchei Umos HaOlam. So clearly we do see many a circumstances where Kavod HaMalchus or Kirvah LaMalchus plays a significant role in Halakha. Not only do we give honor to the king by making a bracha, or by running to see or to greet a king, or standing up to see a king, and or the various examples that we've given in terms of great Jewish leaders who've had close connections with political figures, but at the same time, sometimes there are even Yisurim that can be Nidcha. In the case of Yosef, who was shaving on Rosh Hashanah, in the particular circumstance, the most explicit in halacha and simikuf ayin ches is the ability to be docha the lab diraisa b'chukosem l'seilechu. We discussed that there are circumstances when it's permitted even to go into a church, to a base tiflus, in order to save the lives of Jews and the gamut. Of course, at the end of the day, we do have to be shtadlanim, we do have to push for our religious agendas to be supported. We have to make sure that we are given the ability to be religiously safe, which Baruch Hashem we are in this country, and to continue to do so, and at the same time recognize that although it is within our power to make these efforts, at the same time, we have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us, because at the end of the day, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who will help us be Moshiach. We hope we pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should look after us, to take care of us, should protect us, the citizens of all countries, to protect Jewish people wherever they are, Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael, and Asunim Batzar Bashivya, wherever Jewish people are in stress or distress, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help them, look after them. We continue to wait for the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will show us the Binyan Yerushalayim, B'Nechamas Yerushalayim, when all will be safer, better, healthier, Rian Sessions.